A cab driver on Nantucket once shared a haunting story. Her wealthy Manhattan parents had bound her calves as a child following a bizarre socialite fad, permanently crippling her. When asked how they responded to the damage they'd caused, she replied, "They made me take dancing lessons because they wanted to teach me to fall down more gracefully." This moment captures something profound about the human condition and about what we're missing when we stop talking to strangers. We're living through a loneliness epidemic. Political polarization has transformed neighbors into aliens. Technology has eliminated the friction that once forced us to interact. Yet paradoxically, whenever we do connect with strangers, we experience relief and expansion. Research confirms this intuition. Studies tracking daily interactions found that conversations with weak ties, passing acquaintances or friendly strangers, significantly boost happiness and belonging. Even brief exchanges with strangers during commutes create more positive experiences than silence, regardless of personality type. Yet when asked beforehand, people consistently predict these interactions will be unpleasant. We suffer from pluralistic ignorance. Everyone wrongly assumes no one else wants to talk. Place 50 chimpanzees on a subway car and you'd witness carnage. Place 50 humans there and you get tense silence, punctuated by occasional words. This difference reveals our remarkable self-domestication, an evolutionary gift that enables connection with strangers. The story begins 2.5 million years ago when climate change forced our ancestors from forests into grasslands. Survival demanded cooperation for hunting and scavenging. Humans developed joint intentionality and theory of mind, the ability to understand others' perspectives and work toward shared goals. Hunter-gatherer societies practiced indirect reciprocity, sharing resources through trust rather than immediate exchange. This cooperative heritage comprises 99% of human history. We possess an extraordinary capacity to expand our definition of us, a capacity that modern isolation threatens to atrophy. The cultural lines dividing us and them can be remarkably porous under the right conditions. When you ask a stranger at the library to watch your laptop, you're participating in an ancient ritual that domesticates fear through structured interaction. Traditional societies recognized strangers brought both opportunity and danger. The Zulu transformed threats into community members through rituals, announcing visitors, questioning them, assigning temporary quarters, and observing during probation. These rituals shared common elements: rules, respect, time, meaningful contact, and finding commonality. Archaeological evidence shows hospitality emerged during the agricultural revolution when settlements became transit hubs. Traveling salesmen carried goods and knowledge across vast distances, shells moving 1,740 miles along the Euphrates, obsidian connecting Turkey to Southwest Asia. These travelers received food and shelter, while hosts gained allies, information, and protection. The Latin word hostis means both guest and enemy. Hospitality domesticated fear by bringing the unknown inside, where tension dissolved through shared meals. Religion fundamentally addresses the stranger problem. Mass religions emerged when populations reached about 1 million people, creating belonging across tribal boundaries. The Old Testament grants resident aliens unprecedented legal protections. "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Jesus expanded this ethic, demanding followers love everyone, especially strangers. His parable of the Good Samaritan inverts tribal expectations, forcing listeners to recognize the moral capacity of hated outsiders. Cities emerged 6,000 years ago from desire, not necessity. Humans craved crowds, novel inventions, exotic foods, and romantic possibilities. As Aristotle noted, a city is composed of different kinds of men. Similar people cannot bring a city into existence. Yet cities provoke anxiety. George Simmel warned constant exposure to strangers would numb urbanites. Still, humans flock to cities, driven by what psychologist Arthur Aaron calls self-expansion, our drive to grow by incorporating others' perspectives. The irony, cities surround us with strangers while discouraging conversation. We cope through civil inattention, brief eye contact followed by looking away. Technology erodes even this. Smartphones create absent presence, physically here but mentally elsewhere, reducing smiling, eye contact, and spontaneous interaction. Paradoxically, high-trust societies like Nordic countries are less outwardly friendly than low-trust nations. With strong institutions, people rely on systems rather than personal connections. Mexico City residents routinely hand car keys to unidentified street corner valets called vienavienas. This informal trust economy thrives because institutional dysfunction forces human connection across class lines. Even shared bureaucratic frustration creates bonds. As parking meters replace these interactions, efficiency increases, but cross-class awareness disappears. The American South's famous hospitality partly stems from its culture of honor, a response to weak historical institutions where men needed to appear willing to respond violently to threats. This created the paradox of politeness, where extreme friendliness and potential violence coexist. Studies show Southern men react more strongly to insults, with elevated testosterone and stress hormones. America's stranger danger panic of the 1980s-90s persisted despite evidence showing most violence comes from people victims know. 85% of murders involve acquaintances, only 13% strangers. This misplaced fear taught children to avoid the very connections that could enrich their lives. Our intuitions about danger consistently mislead us, causing retreat from public engagement precisely when we need it most. Small talk isn't insincere filler. It's the opener for a better conversation, a comfort-building ritual that helps identify what you genuinely want to discuss. Like anthropologist Kate Fox's research on English weather conversations, small talk functions as social bonding, where content matters less than establishing familiarity. The key insight? Everyone is interesting, but it's not up to them to show you. It's up to you to discover it. Breaking conversational scripts requires specificity and surprise. Instead of fine to how are you, try I'm a 7.5 out of 10, followed by brief explanation and reciprocal question. This creates atmosphere while demonstrating complexity. Beginning with questions creates uncomfortable dynamics. You're making demands before establishing trust. Statements work better as openers because they're offers rather than demands. Like the yes and principle in improv, effective conversation builds through shared observations. To overcome norms against talking to strangers, acknowledge your breaking convention. I know we're not supposed to talk on the subway, but this demonstrates self-awareness and reassures the stranger you're mentally sound. Organizations like Braver Angels teach structured conversations that reveal humanity behind political opponents. Their rules prevent breakdown. Participants speak as individuals, describe only their own views, stick to designated topics, take turns, and avoid interruptions. Conversations unfold in stages, explaining participation motives, sharing personal details, describing political values through experiences, and expressing reservations about one's own side, establishing rapport before tackling contentious topics. Gordon Allport's contact hypothesis shows that intergroup contact under specific conditions reduces prejudice and fosters the perception of common interests and common humanity. Research confirms 94% of studies validate this effect. How we receive others' views dramatically impacts our perception of their humanity. Hearing or seeing someone express their views increases this perception due to tone and pitch. Despite increasing isolation, history shows humans repeatedly respond to existential threats by creating new ways to cooperate. As James Baldwin wrote, "To encounter oneself is to encounter the other. If I know that my soul trembles, I know that yours does too." The path forward requires cosmopolitanism, experiencing people of different backgrounds with pleasure, curiosity, and interest. This renewed civic faith, practiced through talking to strangers, makes us happier, more connected, and less lonely.